We're about in the middle of the page on Samech Hey Amud Aleph, 26 lines down from the top, right? Two dots. The Mishnah mentions that if you hire a worker to, if an idolater hires a Jew to work with his Yayin Nesach, the money, the salary that he receives for working with the Yayin Nesach is Aser Behana. But if the idolater hires the Yisrael to do work for him, and in the process he also asks him to bring some Yayin Nesach as a favor, he can the salary that he gets is mutar behana, and he can keep it. So now the Gemara asks as follows: how could this be, or what's the case? The Gemara was very unclear. Was this fellow hired to do work with Yayin Netzach during his workday, and therefore it would seem that he's getting paid during his regular business hours to do work with Yayin Nesach, which should be Aser Behana, and therefore you should not be able to get benefit from this paycheck? Or was he telling him to do it after hours, so he wasn't getting paid for it, he was just doing a favor? So the Gemara asks, V'afa gav de lo amar le itusei erev? Are you telling me that even if he doesn't tell him to do it specifically in the evening, in other words, after hours, it's and he tells him, and he just says in general, do this for me, assuming that it means he can do it, he would be doing it during the workday, and that would be permissible to get benefit from? Voraminu, we have a stira. The Tosefta writes, Hasochar sapoel uli itose erev amarlo hever chavis li shel chavis shel yayin nesach mimakom lamakom sachro mutter. Taimo da amarle itose erev. In. Kuliyomalo. The Tosefta clearly shows that the only way you can get benefit from the salary that the idolater pays you is only if he tells you specifically to do the favor for him with the Yayin Nesach in the evening time, after hours, after work. But if he's telling you in general, which means he's requiring you potentially to do it during the day, and that's going to be part of your salary during your work hours, how could you get benefit from it? So two answers given. We have a machlokas Abaye and Rav. It's not really a machlokas. They both agree in principle to the rules. They just have different scenarios. Amr Abaye, kitnan nami masnisin, da amr li itose erev tanan. Yeah, you're right. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the idolater said to the Yisrael, do it in the evening, do it after hours. And that's why you can get your salary is mutar behana. That's Abaye's pshat. Rav has a little more creative answer. Rav Amr lo kasha. Had Amr le haver li mea chavios be mea prutos, had Amr le haver li chavis chavis be pruta. One case is, which is the case of the Brisa, is where he says, take for me 100, move 100 barrels for me, and I'll give you $100 for the job. And he's paying you, since you're doing the job for him, he's paying you by the job. If there happens to be a barrel of Yayin Nesach among those 100 barrels, and he's paying you for the job, the whole job becomes Aser Behana as a result of that Yayin Nesach. That's why it would be prohibited. However, in that case of our Mishnah, we're talking about where the idolater hired the Israel and said, for every barrel that you move from place to place, I will give you $1. So it happens to be that among those 100 barrels, there was one barrel that was Yayin Nesach. So that $1 that he moved, he can just discard it, as Rashi says. Just get rid of it. And no harm, no foul. So you have $99 instead of 100. But you can still get benefit from the rest. And that's the case that we're talking about. So again, you see that Rav and Abaye are not arguing. They're just giving a different example of how to understand the Mishnah. Abaye just says change the Mishnah to show that it was after hours. Rava says no, we're talking about basically between the difference between someone who's hired to do the job or hired to do, buy each item, like a per diem versus a salaried worker. Fahatanya, we have a brisa to support this idea of Rava. Hasocher es apoel v'amar lo haver li mea chavios b'mea prutos v'nimtzeis chavis shal yayin nesach b'neihem sachro aser. If the idolater hires a Yisrael and says to him, bring me 100 barrels for $100, and there's a yayin nesach in one of those barrels, then he can't, this salary is aser behana. But chavis chavis b'pruta, if he says, I'll move the barrels and I'll pay you a pruta, $1 for each one. If a name says chavis shal yayin nesach b'neihem, and there happens to be a barrel of yayin nesach among them, schar mutar, the schar is permissible. Again, as we said before, it doesn't mean that the schar for moving the yayin nesach is mutar. That schar will be aser behana, but it's only $1. The rest of it will be mutar behana. Now the Gemara continues. It says Hasocher, again at the two dots, quoting the Mishnah, Hasocher Sachamor Lahavi Yayin Nesach Scharo Aser. If you hire a donkey to bring Yayin Esach for you, the schar, if the donkey is owned by Yisrael, schar will be prohibited. He can't get benefit from Yayin Esach. So the Gemara says, Hasu Lamali, Hainu Reisha. What's the point of this statement in the Mishnah? It's that we know this answer from the previous case. If you can't get benefit by moving the Yayin Esach, what would be the difference if it's your donkey that you're renting out to the idolater? It shouldn't make a difference. The Gemara says, you're right, it's true, it does not make a difference. But the reason why we have this case of the behema is to teach us seifa etzricha, to teach us the case of the seifa, which is sachra leishev aleha. If you hired the donkey leishev aleha to ride on it, even if the idolater places his yayin nezach on the donkey, on the saddle, the schar would still be mutter. You can still, it's not asr behana. So the Gemara says, lameimra de lugin lav darchehu lo suvi. Are you telling me then that it's not normal to place barrels these on top of yayin esach on top of donkeys? That's not true. Raminu asochar sachamor socher miniach aleksuso uleginaso umizunosav shelosu aderech. It says when you hire a donkey, the socher is allowed to place not just his clothing, but also his bottles of wine or his bottles and mizonos and food and provisions for the road. So that's already the proof to show you that people do put drinks or food and provisions on top of donkeys, and therefore it's going to lead us to the question of how it would be okay. How would it be okay for the Yisrael to get benefit from the fee from the idolater if he's now get benefit from the donkey by placing his Yayin Esach on the donkey? But nevertheless, the Braisa continues and says, Mikan ve'elach chamar ma'akev ala. From that point on, the donkey driver could say, look, that's as much as you can leave on the donkey, only enough for the one way, for the whole trip. Chamar, Mikan ve'elach chamar ma'akev ala. The donkey driver is allowed to put barley and wheat or other provisions that he needs just for that day, but the renter can say, look, that's enough. You can't put any more. The reason why they're preventing each other from adding more is because you put too much weight on the donkey and the donkey can't go as fast. That's the discussion. But that's not our issue. The point here is the fact that you're putting, the idolater is putting wine that's Yayin Nesach on the donkey, and therefore it becomes Asr Behana. You shouldn't get benefit from the salary, from the fee that he's paying you for the donkey. Amar Abaye says, no, it's not necessarily the case. Nihi de lugin din hu lo sove. Granted, it's true that it's common for people to put their provisions and their drinks on top of the animal. But mia ilo mosiv le, miamrina le naki le agra de leginaso. But let's say he doesn't. Let's say he doesn't put his drink on the donkey. He holds it the whole time. Does that mean he gets a $5 discount on the rental fee? No. The fact that he puts the drink on the animal doesn't affect its fee. It just happens to be that it's common, but it doesn't affect the transaction at all. Since it doesn't affect the transaction, it would be permissible to receive the schar from the idolater for use of the donkey.